Hello, angels. I'm not going to tell you what take number this is. I've been doing this for a little while now, and I feel like if this is not the final take of this introduction, I might just fucking have a tantrum. Anyway, this is part three of my reading of Dante Alighieri's The Divine Comedy. We are still in Inferno. I do intend to read the other two because they are part of this fucking beautiful book, and I'm gonna get my money's worth out of it, and I'm gonna read it time and time again. If you have not heard the first two sections of this, I strongly suggest that you go back and listen to them, because this is a confusing piece of work, and it will be even more confusing if you don't have any context. That being said, if you have this book, I sincerely suggest that you open it up and read along with me if you want to retain anything that I'm saying. But if you're just here to listen to my voice, also thank you, but why? If you do want to listen to those first two parts, they are pinned in my media channel on Discord. They are on my Twitter, if you can scroll through all of my D&D and Thirst. And they are also at the very bottom of my new Safe for Work index on Reddit. I separated my not safe for work and my safe for work because they were just getting really long to scroll, and I didn't want to have to go all the way down to Timbuktu to edit a post. That being said, I just inhaled a lot of my own hair. That being said, this is a safe for work audio. I feel like you knew that when you clicked on it, but I've decided pretty firmly that I'm not going to be doing hysterical literature in this series because it's already a fucking nightmare to understand, and you don't need me moaning in between it. Another thing, this is the part of the audio where I beg you, with all of the kindness in my heart, to reach to all of the kindness in your heart, to be patient with me. I am going to stumble over my words. There are names and places that I don't know how to pronounce. There are words in this that I've never fucking seen before. And I love you guys, but I'm not going to go out of my way to look them up and find the way to pronounce them before I read it, because honestly, I'm just reading this as I go. This is less of an audiobook and more of a me reading to you. If you want professional quality, I am sure there is some beautiful, sexy, deep-voiced man that reads this fluently and fluidly and sounds fantastic and like a god, and you can look for him, but I'm not him. And I feel like you knew what you were getting into when you got here. I am comfy and cozy in bed. I suggest you grab your book if you have it, you get something to drink, and you get a snack, and you settle in with me. I have some cranberry juice that I'm probably going to regret because it's very sweet and it's going to make my throat all weird, but I drink cranberry juice. I have my glasses on. My lights were flickering for a little bit, so if they fully go out, you might never hear this audio. But my phone will continue. I just won't be able to see. So, you know, whatever. Okay, we are starting with Canto 6. I don't know how far I'm going to read. We'll read until I am sick of reading. And you know now by the title how far I got, because I don't know yet how far I have got. Gotten, made it, whatever. But the, what's it called? The summary under Canto 6 is the third circle, the gluttonous, Cerberus, the eternal rain. I've read this so many times and I still don't know how to say it. Kasau? Kaikau? Psychau? I don't know. And Florence. That's a name that, once again, I don't know how to say. So, like I said, be patient with me. If you were reading this, you wouldn't know how to say it out loud either. Last time I read this, I didn't have to read it out loud. So I never had to figure out what the words meant. I just identified them as a person. Anyway, I'm gonna get started. Thank you for being here. It means a shit ton to me that you let me do this, because I know that I am essentially just a girl on the internet that shows people her boobs and moans into a microphone, but getting to do some safe work stuff and share literature that I love with you guys is a big deal to me. So, thank you. Without further ado, we're starting with Canto 6 of Dante Alighieri's The Divine Comedy from the book Inferno. At the return of consciousness that closed before the pity of those two relations which utterly with sadness had confused me, new torments I behold, and new tormented around me, whichsoever way I move and whichsoever way I turn and gaze. In the third circle, I am of the rain eternal, maledict and cold and heavy. Its law and quality are never new. Huge hail and water sombered hued, and snow, athwart the tenebrous air pour down amain. Noisome the earth is that receiveth this. Cerberus, a monster cruel and uncouth, with his three gullets, like a dog, is barking over the people that are there submerged. Red eyes he has, and uncutuous beard, and black, and belly large, and armed with claws, his hands, he rends the spirits, flays and quarters them. How the rain maketh them like unto dogs. One side they make shelter for the other. Oft turn themselves the wretched reprobates. When Cerberus perceived us, the great worm, his mouth he opened and displayed his tusks. Not a limb had he that was motionless. And my conductor, with his spans extended, took off the earth, and with his fists well filled, he threw it unto those rapacious gullets. Such as that dog is, who by barking craves, and quiet grows soon as his food he gnaws. For to devour it, he but thinks and struggles. The like became those muzzles filth begrimed of Cerberus the demon, who so thunders over the souls that they would fain be deaf. We passed across the shadows which subdued the heavy rainstorm, and we placed our feet upon their vanity that person seems. They all were lying prone upon the earth, excepting one who sat upright as soon as he beheld us passing before him. O thou art conducted through this hell, he said to me. Recall me, if thou canst thyself what wast made me before I was unmade. And I to him, the anguish which thou hast perhaps doth draw thee out of my remembrance, so that it seems not I have ever seen thee. But tell me who thou art, that in so doleful a place art put, and in such punishment, if some are greater, none so displeasing. And he to me, thy city, which is full of envy, so that now the sack runs over, held me within it in the life serene. Your citizens were wont to call me Sakau, for the pernicious sin of gluttony. I, thou seest, I am battered by this rain. And I, sad soul, am not the only one, for all these suffer the like penalty for the like sin. And word no more spake he. I answered to him, Sakau, thy wretchedness weighs on me so that it to weep invites me. But tell me, if thou knowest, to what shall come the citizens of the divided city, if any there are, be just, and the occasion, tell me why so much discord has assailed it. And he to me, they, after long contention, will come to bloodshed, and rustic party will drive the other out with much offense. Then afterwards behooves it this one fall within three suns, and rise again the other by force of who now is on the coast. High will it holds its forehead a long while, keeping the other under heavy burdens, however it weeps thereat and is indignant. The just are two, and are not understood there. Envy and arrogance and avarice are the three sparks that have all hearts enkindled. Here ended he his tearful utterance, and I to him, I wish thee still to teach me, and make a gift to me of further speech. For Anata and I don't know how to say that, I'm just going to give that one up. One so worthy, Jacopo, Rusticio, Arrigo, and Mosca, and others who on good deeds set their thoughts. Say where they are, and cause that I may know them. For great desire constraineth me to learn if heaven doth sweeten them or hell in venom. And he, they are among the blacker souls. A different sin down weighs them to the bottom. If thou so far descendest, thou canst see them. But when thou art again in the sweet world, I pray thee the mind of others bring me. No more I tell thee, and no more I answer. Then his straightforward eyes, he turned askance, eyed me a little, and then bowed his head. He fell there within prone, like the other blind. And the guide said to me, he wakes no more this side of the sound of the angelic trumpet, when shall approach the hostile potentate. Okay. Each one shall find again his dismal tomb, shall resume his flesh and his own figure, shall hear what through eternity re-echoes. So we passed onward o'er the filthy mixture of shadows and of rain with footsteps slow, touching a little on the future life. Wherefore I said, Master, these torments here, will they increase after the mighty sentence, or lesser be, or will they be as burning? And he to me, return unto thy science, which wills that as the thing more perfect is, the more it feels of pleasure and of pain. I'll bet that this people maledict to true perfection never can attain, hereafter more than now they look to be. Round in a circle by that road we went, speaking much more, which I do not repeat. We came unto the point where the descent is. There we found Plutus, the great enemy. All right, that's six. I need a drink. I'm going to pick you guys up because I'm worried that you're going to slide off the thing I have you standing on. Mm-mm-mm. Okay. My goodness. Also, my foot's falling asleep. Okay. Put you back down gently so you don't hear that so much. Okay. Canto 7. There looks like nothing in this summary that I can't pronounce yet. So, oh, that's not true. Okay, Canto 7, and the summary is the fourth circle, the avaricious and the prodigal, Plutus, Fortune and her wheel, the fifth circle, and the irascible, and the sullen, and then Styx. Oh, this is Latin. Oh, wonderful. I barely speak English. Okay, here we go. Papa Satan, Alepi. Thus Plutus with his clucking voice began, and the benignant sage, who all things knew, said to encourage me, let not thy fear harm thee, for any power that he may have shall not prevent thy going down this crag. Then he turned around unto that bloated lip and said, be silent, thou accursed wolf, consume within thyself thine own rage. Not causeless is this journey to the abyss. Thus it is willed on high, where Michael wrought vengeance upon the proud adultery. Even as the sails afflated by the wind, involved together fall when snapped the mast, so fell the cruel monster to the earth. Thus we descended into the fourth chasm, gaining still farther down on the dulsome shore, which all the woe of the universe ensacks. Justice of God, ah, who heaps up so many new toils and sufferings as I beheld. And why doth our transgressions waste us so? And doth the billow where there upon Charybdis? Sure. That breaks itself on that which it encounters. So here the folk must dance their roundelay. Here I saw people, more than elsewhere, many on the side and the other, with great howls rolling weights forward by the main force of chest. They clashed together, and then at the point each one turned backwards, rolling retrograde and crying, why keepest, and why squanderest thou? Thus they returned along the lurid circle, on either hand, to the opposite point, shouting their shameful meter evermore. Then each, when he arrived there, wheeled about, through his half circle to another joust, and I, who had my heart pierced as it were, exclaimed, my master, now declare to me what people these are, and if all were clerks, these shaven crowns upon the left of us. And he to me, All of them were asquint in intellect in the first life, so much that there with measure they no spending made. Clearly enough their voices back and forth, whene'er they reach the two points of the circle, where sunders them the opposite defect. Clerks those were who no hairy covering have on the head, and popes and cardinals, in whom doth avarice practice its excess. And I, my master, among such as these I ought forsooth to recognize some few who were infected with these maladies. And he to me, vain thought thou earnest, the undiscerning life which made them sordid now makes them unto all discernment dim. Forever shall they come with with these two buttings, these from the spelchler shall rise again with the fist closed, and these with tresses shorn. Ill-giving and ill-keeping the fair world have taken from them and placed them in this scuffle. Whatever it be, no words adorn I for it. Now canst thou, son, behold the transient farce of goods that are committed unto fortune, for which these the human race each other buffet. Buffet? I'm going to go with buffet on that one. For all the gold that has beneath the moon, or ever has been, of these weary souls, could never make a single one repose. Master, I said to him, now tell me also, what is this fortune which thou speakest of, that has the world's goods so within its clutches? And he to me, O creatures imbecile, what ignorance is this which doth beset you? Now will I have thee learn my judgment of her, he whose omniscience everything transcends, the heavens created and gave, who should guide them, that every part to every part may shine. Distributing the light in equal measure, he in like manner to the mundane splendors ordained a general ministress and guide, that she might change at times the empty treasures from race to race, from one blood to another, beyond resistance of all human wisdom. Therefore, one people triumphs and another languishes, in pursuance of her judgment, which hidden is, as in the grass a serpent. Your knowledge has no counterstand against her. She makes provision, judges, and pursues her governance as theirs the other gods. Her permutations have not any truce. Necessity makes her precipitate. So often cometh who his turn obtains. And this is she who is so crucified, even by those who ought to give her praise, giving her blame amiss and a bad repute. But she is blissful, and she hears it not. Among the other primal creatures gladsome, she turns her sphere, and blissful she rejoices. Let us descend now unto greater woe. Already sinks each star that was ascending when I set out, and loitering is forbidden. We cross the circle to the other bank, near to fount that boils and pours itself, along a gully that runs out of it. The water was more somber far than purse, and we, in company with the dusky waves, made entrance downward by a path uncouth. A marsh it makes, which has the name of Styx, this tristful brooklet, when it has descended down to the foot of the malign gray shores. And I, who stood intent upon beholding, saw people mud besprent in that lagoon, all of them naked and with an angry look. They smote each other, not alone with hands, but with the head and with the breast and feet, tearing each other piecemeal with their teeth. Said the good master, son, thou now beholdest the souls of whom anger overcame, and likewise I would have thee know for certain beneath the water people who are sigh and make this water bubble at the surface. As the eye tells thee wherever it turns, fixed in the mire, they say, we sullen were in the sweet air, which by the sun is gladdened, bearing within ourselves the sluggish reek. Now we are sullen in this sample mire. This hymn do they keep gurgling in their throats, for with unbroken words they cannot say it. Thus we went circling around the filthy fen, a great arc, twixt the dry bank and the swamp, with eyes turned unto those who gorge at the mire. Unto the foot of the tower we came at last. I think I'm going to do one more canto, but I'm not going to take a break. I'm just going to... Ooh, I hope you didn't hear that. I cracked my neck. I'm very sorry. I did it without thinking. This looks like it's going to have a bunch of names I can't pronounce in it. So that beautiful reading of the second canto in this series is going to be overtaken by my stumbling on this one. Okay, canto 8. Yes, that is the Roman numeral for 8. Oh, Phlegius? Filippo Argenti and the gate of the city of Dis. Oh my goodness. I feel like I'm swallowing like a hiccup. This happens every time I try to record. I say, continuing, that long before we to the foot of that high tower had come, our eyes went upward to the summit of it. By reason, two flamelets we saw placed there, and from afar another answered them, so far that hardly could the eye attain it. And to the sea of all discernment turned, I said, what saith this, and what respondeth that other fire, and who are there to make it? And he to me, across the turbid waves, what is expected thou canst now discern, if freak the morass conceal it not. Cord never shot an arrow from itself, that sped away athwart the air so swift, as I beheld a very little boat come over the water towards us at the moment, under the guidance of a single pilot, who shouted, now art thou arrived, fell soul? Phlegius, thou criest out in vain, for this once, said my lord, thou shalt not have us longer than in the passing of the slough. And as he who listens to some great deceit, thou hast been done to him, and then resents it, such became Phlegius in his gathered wrath. My guide descended down into the boat, and then made me enter after him, and only when I entered seemed it laden. Soon as the guide and I were in the boat, the antique prow goes its way, dividing more of the water than its wont the others. While we were running through the dead canal, uprose in front of me one full of mire, and said, who art thou that comest here in the hour? And I to him, although I come, I stay not. But who art thou that hast become so squalid? Thou seest that I am one who weeps, he answered. And I to him, with weeping and with wailing, thou spirit maledict, do thou remain? For thee I know, though thou art all defiled. Then stretched both his hands unto the boat, whereat my wary master thrust him back, saying, away there with the other dogs. Thereafter, with arms clasped, he clasped my neck. He kissed my face and said, disdainful soul, blessed be she who bore thee on her bosom. That was an arrogant person in this world. Goodness is none that decks his memory, so likewise here is his shade is furious. How many are esteemed great kings up there, who here shall be like unto swine and mire, leaving behind them horrible dispraises. And I, my master, much should I be pleased if I could see him soused into this broth before we issue forth out of the lake. And he to me, ere unto the shore reveal itself, thou shalt be satisfied. Such a desire 'tis meet thou shouldest enjoy. A little after that I saw such havoc made of him by the people of the mire, and I praise and thank my God for it. They were all shouting at Filippo Argenti, and that exasperate spirit Florentine turned round upon himself with his own teeth. We left him there, and more of him I tell not, but on mine ears there smote a lamentation, whence forward I intent unbar mine eyes. And the good master said, even now, my son, the city draweth near, whose name is Dis, with the grave citizens, with the great throng. And I, its mosques already, master, clearly within there, in the valley I discern vermilion, as if issuing from the fire. They were. and he to me. The fire eternal that kindles them within makes them look red, as thou beholdest in this nether hell. Then we arrived within the moats profound that circumvallate the disconsolate city. The walls appeared to me to be made of iron. Not without making first a circuit wide, we came unto a place where loud the pilot cried out to us, "Debark! Here is the entrance." More than 1,000 at the gates I saw, out of the heavens rained down, who angrily were saying, "Who is this that without death goes through the kingdom of the people dead?" And my sagest master made a sign of wishing secretly to speak with them. A little then they quelled their great disdain and said, "Come thou alone, and he begone who has so boldly entered these dominions. Let him return alone by his mad road. Try, if he can, for thou shalt here remain who hast escorted him through such dark regions." Think, reader, if I was discomforted at utterance of these accursed words, for never to return here I believed. Oh, my dear guide, who more than 7 times hast rendered me security and drawn me from imminent peril that before me stood, do not desert me, said I, thus undone, and if the going farther be denied us, let us retrace our steps together swiftly. And that Lord, who had led me thin toward, said unto me, "Fear not, because our passage none can take from us, it by such is given. But here await me, and thy weary spirit comfort and nourish with a better hope, for in this nether world I will not leave thee." So onward goes, and there abandons me my father sweet, and I remain in doubt, for no and yes within my head contend. I could not hear what he proposed to them, but with them he did not linger long. Ere each within in rivalry ran back. They closed the portals, those our adversaries, on my lord's breast, who had remained without, and he turned to me with footsteps far between. His eyes cast down, his forehead shorn, he had all of its boldness, and he said with sighs, Who has denied to me the dulsome houses? And unto me, "Thou, because I am angry, fear not, for I will conquer the ritual, whatever for defense within be planned." This arrogance of theirs is nothing new, for once they used it at less secret gate, which finds itself without a fastening still. Or it did. It didst thou behold the dead inscription, and now this side of it descends the steep, passing the circles without escort, one by whose means the city shall be opened. That was not as bad as I thought it was going to be. I did okay on that one. That is cantos 6 through 8. I loved that. Reading it was a lot easier than I imagined hearing it was, but I hope you enjoyed it. Thank you so much for letting me do this, and take it easy, angels. I love you a bunch.